Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world where we ask, with so much AI, clones, actors, and doubles, how the heck do we know which ones are the source of our troubles? With the globalists getting more rabid by the hour, at what point do we think they will figure out they are actually losing their power? I see the British farmers are calling out two-tier Starmer, and in France, let's pray for Le Pen's, the garlic-flavored globalists are gung-ho to harm her. But the question that keeps us up and awake most nights, when will creeps like Fauci be read their last rites? Welcome back, all you darling, delectable, deplorable martini heads. And for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, a warm welcome to you. Be advised, my darlings, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. You see, whatever mainstream media is, I think we're the opposite. Martini heads are free thinkers. We are able to consider multiple points of view without needing a safe space or warm blankets or mugs of hot chocolate laced with CBD. Although I have to say, on a crisp fall afternoon in Oregon like it is, the hot chocolate with the CBD doesn't sound that bad. But I'm going to go on to say, we don't need to drink a potion to entertain an opposing notion. We're happy to discuss, you know, all this without the usual fuss. But that said, what we're really all about is, well, you know, we're patriots. We're patriots in the truest sense of the word, because in some form or another, we are involved in the running of our country. We believe America has a sacred purpose, and that sacred purpose is to remind mankind of the meaning of sovereignty. And if you want more about sovereignty, please read the US Constitution, because it's all about sovereignty. You see, my darlings, we've forgotten so much about our origins and, you know, why this great nation was started in the first place. If the citizen cannot thrive, that citizen, well, that nation has no business being alive. I'll put it that way. This is, you know, that's not a country, is it, where the citizens don't thrive? That is not a country. It's more of a private enterprise of masters and various tiers of slaves and at the upper echelon of the slave ladder, lapdogs. One can always tell when civilizations start to rot from within, because new and ridiculous laws are passed to keep the slaves, that's us, you know, in check. Do we have multiple and obvious, you know, examples of this? Of course we do. Right now, the most obvious example is net zero and this whole green agenda, a massive scam that, my God, you know, that the Safe Space and Blanket Brigade, the SSBB, it fell for this scam in droves. But those in the know will know that while the establishment, the dark establishment, makes its money from our old friends' medicine with side effects and perpetual war, their backup plan was perpetual climate change. And it's a very clever plan. The plan is to make man feel as though he is an intruder, an outsider, something not part of the nature of this earth. And more than that, to make us feel as though we are a blight on the land. You know, they want us to hate ourselves as if we're damaging Mother Earth with every breath we take. I have discussed this assault on our minds on many occasions, you know, the green thing, the green climate change scam. But I'm going to keep discussing it until people are once again in their right minds. We are very much an intrinsic part of the environment of this realm. Mankind, listen up. We are not only worthy of our place on Earth, we have dominion over Earth to adjust nature respectfully to meet our needs. I know we can do better, a lot better, but we will in time. But until that time, please be aware of that insidious agenda to make humans feel like outsiders in their own home. And please do not fall for it, because that's all the green climate stuff is about. One way or another, they want to control us and put us in some sort of prison of the mind, and then it will be a prison of the body, and then the prison of the 15-minute cities that you won't be able to get out of. Please do not fall for these scams. It's all a scam. And there is so much more oil, by the way, than they let on. I don't believe actually oil is a finite resource. I believe it will meet our needs very well until we move to real clean energy. And by real clean energy, that has nothing to do with electric batteries that blow up all the time and wind turbines that cannot be recycled. We have destroyed landscapes, we have harmed wildlife, and we have inconvenienced countless people in the name of this fake green agenda. And still, by the way, we are not dying fast enough for these lizards from another mother. You know? Okay, people, I may have got a little off track there. Let me regroup. If you're new to this show, this happens quite often. And it happens quite often because Metaphysical Martini is the place where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits. And what a celestial combination that is. After all, my darlings, think about it. Jesus was able to turn water into wine. And I'm sure that if Jesus were in physical form today, he would probably enjoy one of my excellent whiskey sours and my titillating tray of sophisticated canapes. All righty, enough babbling, Arnie. Get on with the show before I start on this eternal path of my own perpetual pontification. On today's show, we're going to have quack, questions, answers, and comments, which is the meat of our show, or if you're a vegetarian, the jackfruit of our show. Before we plunge into the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out, I would like to play a short talk I gave a couple of weeks ago at the lovely Unity Church in Roseburg, Oregon. Now, I've shared it on my Facebook page, and of course, it's also on the Unity of Roseburg Facebook page, along with many other delightful speakers they have there. Now, the purpose of me giving these talks in churches is to let people understand the extent and depth of the perceptual engineering they have been subjected to. And I have to do this from as high a perspective as possible without losing the physical aspect. And what that really means is that I have to explain all of this without using any political language, anything that could trigger politically. Now, it takes a bit of practice, but if we're going to shift perception in healthy ways, we have to go the extra mile. So I'm going to ask Nancy, our producer, if she could play that clip for us now. Thanks, Nancy. And to see how strong everybody is in their actual faith. Okay. Thank you for the introduction, Rick. I make a couple of amendments to that. I'm not a suburban shaman. I'm now the mad shaman. That is my tagline. I come from a very different background to most other people on this planet, and I feel I should just fill you in on that so that everything that I say makes some sort of sense to you. I was born into an Armenian bloodline shaman family. Now, when everyone says shaman, they go, oh, lovely, the wise woman of the village. You pull out babies and you give herbs and you give counsel. And these days I have a reasonably exciting life in Wilsonville, Oregon,
doing energy work, taking ghosts out of people's houses, doing spiritual counseling, and anything else that goes under the banner of metaphysics. And it's a lovely suburban lifestyle that I have now, but that wasn't always the way. The family that I was born into is the other shaman bloodline. It is the shaman bloodline that stands next to the king and helps the king to obliterate his enemies utterly and completely. I believe in reincarnation, the eternity of life, so obviously I chose this path. And the way it went down for me was I was born on the island of Cyprus, a beautiful island in the Mediterranean. At that time, it was a British colony. My father, who was one of the greatest demonologists nobody's ever heard of, because it's what happens when you work for governments. If people hear of you, you have failed miserably. My late father was very active in trying to get the British out of the island of Cyprus and aligned himself with the Aoka movement and General Grievous. And the British caught up with him because they're good, the British, at catching up with people who piss them off. America escaped that, but, you know, yeah. They caught up with him and they basically said this, Mr. Avedisian, we know what you're all about. We also know who you are. And we also know you're going to get married. And we also know you're probably going to want to have children. And we also want you to know that we're going to execute you unless you do exactly what we say. Oh. If you agree to our terms, we will take you to England. You will be a fully fledged British citizen, not a colonial. No? And we will set you up in your own business, which will be a hotel in central London. It will be lovely and you will make a lovely living, but your hotel will also be a safe house for British intelligence. And you will make yourself available to the British government for all paranormal anomalies that need to be investigated. Mm-hmm. And one other thing, we want your firstborn. That's me. Now, I know this sounds terribly dramatic and James Bondish, but I assure you this sort of thing happens all over the world, especially in Russia, because they're the best at all this sort of stuff. And the deal was made, I guess. I'm surprised because my father is a stubborn man. I would have accepted he would kill himself at that point and go, ha ha, I got one over you. I'm dead. But he didn't. And I was a babe in arms. I was born in Cyprus. We went to England and we have this lovely hotel that was an actual hotel, but it was also a safe house for military intelligence and various other security services. And when I was 9 years old, I was taken away and told that I was going to receive a special kind of training and that I would learn all the beautiful things that needed to be learned, that shamans should have to learn, etc. I would be the keeper of the law, L-O-R-E, of my people, poor little Armenians running away from everybody all the time, trying to find a place to make a home. But in addition to that, I was going to be taught a certain skill set. And I was. I was trained all over the world. I went to Bulgaria to study with a shaman there. I went to Syria to study with someone there. I went to Wales, which wasn't a big trip because I lived in London, to study with some wonderful Welsh shamans who actually descended from Armenians. It's a little known fact, but the Welsh nation, there's a lot of Armenians in the Welsh nation. The blood is joined. And I've been trained, I'll be honest, I've been trained to do things that no sane person would ever ask me to do. In time, obviously, I made my way away from that life. And by the grace of God and by one lieutenant colonel who really had the hots for me, because I was very cute back in the day, I was able to secure a green card. And of course, now I'm an American citizen, which was a lifelong dream, which I achieved on Groundhog Day a couple of years ago. Fantastic. The point I really want to make to people is I want to give a message of not just hope, but why have hope? Things are going to turn out so much better than anybody ever realized. I know in the New Thought churches, I am a comparative religion and ancient history major, by the way. So I do know that in the New Age churches, we deny evil. Oh, be gone, it's not real, you know? And we deny these things and we think, and I'm not being flippant, but I think that there's this thing of like, think about fluffy unicorns and everything is going to be okay. No. We want to acknowledge the things that are happening on this planet. We don't need to get dramatic about them and go, oh my God, the Illuminati have taken over the world, which they have, by the way, because I know, because I work for them. we don't want to be that. What we want to do is really be acknowledged and accept what's going on in the world and understand what took us there. Now, long story short, The reason we're in the mess we're in on this planet today, you know, because we have to let the spirit inhabit the human, otherwise we're just running around like a headless hedgehog, right? So the reason we're in this mess, obviously, is because we're not in divine alignment with ourselves. We know that we are temporary, individualized manifestations of a supreme cosmic intelligence that is too grand to put into words, whether you're going to use scientific language or romantic language. We can possibly put the divine in a box, in one religion, in one philosophy, in one thought form. We know that that's the main reason. But what people don't really know is how mankind's ego programming has been manipulated and how we have been hacked. You've heard probably we have 12 DNA strands. They're still intact, but 10 are muted. That's why we don't remember the history of the Earth, which did not start with Sumerians. You know, there's a great many things that we don't remember consciously because we can't access them, because off-worlders a very long time ago from one branch of the reptilian empire, I'm sure some of you think, oh my God, I'm leaving now, she's mad. But in another 3 or 4 years, these things will be commonplace. 10 years ago, no one thought deep state was real. Today, they know it is. Right? So we've been hacked, and all of those things are on mute. Our ego has been programmed. So my job in this world, I have decided, now that I'm semi-retired, is to teach how your ego was programmed, how you have been knocked off your divine path. I worked as an intuitive for the British government and your government and actually various other governments over the years. And my job was to work with behavioral, I think we call them cognitive psychologists these days, behavioral people. And my job was to be a perceptual engineer. And at that time, hundreds of millions of dollars were given to the RAND Corporation to work with the governments to figure out how mankind could be programmed through mainstream news. That was a very real agenda. Everything that's happening today, actually, I said would happen 40 years ago, because I sat in all the rooms where these things were discussed. And I was subjected to things that nobody should be subjected to. But on the tamer end of all of that, you know, your government is like, okay, we've got 5 people in this room. I'm just going to give you an example. We're going to bombard them with this information. What happens to their auras? Let us know. What happens to their neural pathways? How are they firing? So it was repetitive, years and years of years of that. You know, and all the other stuff that you would expect to teach the army, remote viewing and all that sort of thing. But I really want people to understand that nothing in metaphysics is real except source. Everything's an individualized, temporal, fleeting experience. In metaphysics, reality is the raw source soul, right? That said, let's not be afraid to say that there is a palpable evil being spread upon this land, because it's a temporary thing, right? Our minds have been manipulated by geniuses like me, and I was the less of all of them, yeah, for decades. And this went full blast after JFK, the last of the great classical Democrats, you know, was murdered by the deep state. So it's important to realize that our job, which we have achieved on this last particular election, you could really tell, our job was to make the minority feel that they were the majority by taking over the news completely and dissolving any semblance of honest journalism and making that the propagandized mouthpiece of the state. Now, when we say deep state, we're not talking about men in suits sipping 200-year-old scotch in dark paneled rooms. It's an ideology. It's an ideology that has built machinery. The machinery of the legal system, the machinery of the financial system, the educational system, the medical industrial complex, everything. Every aspect of our society started off for decent reasons, has been hijacked by a small group of people that traditionally are called the Illuminati, but we've had them since Sumerian times. They are people who come from a clan of what will later be acknowledged to be vampire-type reptilians. They're sociopaths. What is a sociopath? A sociopath is somebody who has turned their back on the divine. If you turn your back on the divine, and this goes back to the Luciferian rift, which I'm going to explain. I don't know if everybody knows that. But in the shaman's world of creation, in the beginning, there was something that we can't mention because we don't have vocabulary for it, because we're not at that level of awareness. But we call it, in my culture, the Islands of Paradise, where source energy exists, but what goes on inside there is beyond us. One day, source decided to self-express, and it made dots, made itself into a little circle, self-expressed. We call that the first realm of archangels, because we don't know what else to call it, so we personify it. The archangels co-created with source in thought form. Then the archangels decided, let's expand a little more, and then they created tiers of what we call angels. So we're talking about the expansion of consciousness. And then one day, I guess one of these angels woke up and hit itself on something and went, hang on a minute, there's no things. There's no such thing as a thing. We're in ether here. What's happening? Well, oh my God, our thoughts make things. Okay, this is the Jiffy Loop version of the story of creation. Okay, everyone? Our thoughts make things. And then began the process of actually making physical universes and all of that. When we had genetic material to play with, as the legend goes, there was a very powerful archangel who in my culture is called Lucifer, the bringer of light. And he became a bit of a mad scientist with the genetic materials. He got very excited by them. And he did things like, I wonder what would happen if I took a man's head and stuck it on a horse's ass. Because, you know, all this mythology does have some root of truth to it back in the day. And Lucifer did this not because he was evil. He did this because he was an archangel with a new toy box. And then all the other archangels noticed that these creatures had a vibration that was very unfamiliar. It was not harmonious. It was doing strange things to the area that we would later know as the amygdala. You know, it was flooding with something that we call fear and terror, which are genuine illusions. Those things don't exist in our biology. And so all the other archangels went around and said, Lou, this is not good. Do not do this. Did you run it by the boss? And that was the cinch. He goes, no, I didn't run it by the boss. Why? Well, he wouldn't have given me permission. What, doesn't that say something to you? So I mentioned that. And of course, there was a war in the heavens and Lucifer was cast down. But the vibration that he created, which somebody else would have created at some point, the contrast started. And then we have this thing called fear and terror. These sociopaths, going back to the sociopaths we were talking about, the Draco reptilian that look more human these days, sociopaths, they need fear as fuel. Because if you don't co-create with the divine, you can't do anything. You'll just wither and die. So they realized that if they created more of this fear, they could get the little humans and whatever running around, like little headless hedgehogs all over the place, to do what they wanted and to keep generating fear. And then they could get them to do anything that they wanted. That's, I wanted to preface that, as that's how that strange vibration started. And that's why we call the globalists Luciferians, because they literally worship Lucifer, who is enthroned, unfortunately, below the Vatican. But they worship Lucifer because Lucifer turned his back on God and said, I have genetic material to play with now. I don't need no God. Okay. What's happening now in this world? I do not talk in political terms. My ideology is libertarian. In fact, I'm convinced I'm a reincarnation of Benjamin Franklin. I hope I am, because he's my favorite eccentric founding father. What's happening now is a mass black magic spell has been cast over this entire nation, over the entire world. And we used mainstream media to do it. We used it because everybody has a telephone, a television in their house. And we also knew that we were all going to go around walking around with one of these things that had a little screen on it at some point in the future. Because this technology has been around for a long time, people. It didn't just come out. Okay. So I want people to understand, because there's a great awakening happening. I'm not going to deal in well-worn platitudes and all of that, but what is happening right now is we are all going to wake up from this ridiculous magic spell that we are under. And we are going to see that everything is not as it seems. We are going to see that the people that we thought were the light of the world are really demons personified. And this is going to be very painful for a great many people. I know I'm a spiritual counselor. I know. It's going to be painful, but I want you to know this. It's not you. I'll take the pressure off. Your ego was programmed relentlessly, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, program by program, podcast by podcast, television show by television show. We have all realized that this brain here loves a shortcut. Ask any neurologist. The brain loves a shortcut if it can take it. And through repetition and through wearing people down, we managed to get everyone to do anything that the Illuminati wanted them to do through this ego programming. Now, when people realize what they have been supporting and how miserably they've treated people who thought differently, there's going to be a great emotional washout that's going to have to happen with that. And whichever side people think they're on, we need to be really sort of very gracious with each other because our egos were programmed. How do you break free from the ego programming? I will tell you. If you're in dark confinement, the only light is divine alignment. Your divinity has to be the primary vibration in your aura at all times. You either believe you are an individualized manifestation of supreme cosmic intelligence, magnificent beyond all understanding, brilliant, capable, powerful beyond any vocabulary that we have on this earth, or you don't. I am inviting you to understand that there is no in-between going forward. The divine, in all its glory, looks upon us and goes, you know, oh, they're praying. And we're like praying down here. We think the divine's up here. We think we're, oh, God, I wonder if I'm worthy. I wonder if I do. I wonder if. And God's up here going, Arnie, I've got the keys to your new Land Rover up here. Would you care to meet me up here and stay up here? Okay. I'm inviting us to realize, I will tell you, I'm not asking you to believe anything that I say. But I would ask you to have a think about how the world has changed in 60, 70, 80 years. What a formative shattering of the illusion we have just had now. I'm also going to invite you to hold space for the fact that there will be no such thing as religion in 100 years' time. It will be mythology. Not to say that Emmanuel wasn't real. He was. He just didn't really make a correct appearance in the Bible. But I know Emmanuel was real. We won't have religion because we won't have to. Because when we all self-realize, which is the goal, and it's not a big thing, it's not like, oh my God, I'm divine. I don't run around like a headless chicken and da da da. It's like, this is so cool. I am a walking manifestation of the all-powerful supreme cosmic intelligence. And I worried about what yesterday? And I treated my spouse like, what did I say to my spouse yesterday? And you know, I'm inviting us all to step into what it really feels like when you are fully self-realized and everybody else around you is self-realized. Now, do you think that you would listen to somebody on the television that told you to go and do something, put something in your body because somebody somewhere made a really bad video of a bunch of Chinese people falling over? Oh, God, you know, your minds have been, all of our minds have been corrupted by mainstream media. And you're very welcome. I was very good at my job. You know, the reason I stayed in that job is so that I could do the one that I'm doing now. I know exactly how these people work. I know how clever they are. And right now, they're reeling. But they're going to try to make a comeback and take over this planet. And the goal was, I was laughing, I was having dinner with Rick last night. And I was going through all the agendas that we had, you know, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, if they don't delay it, Agenda 2040, you know. And I said, you know, one of the plans, if they had gone through and done all these 15-minute cities and taken away our right to have property, et cetera, one of the plans down the road is not only to monitor how much soy and insect paste that you eat, but if you actually excreted more than you should have, there would be a tax on that. And, of course, Rick spat his food out all over the place and thought I was being funny. But I'm not being funny. That's actually on the agenda because what they want is post-humanism, transhumanism, post-humanism. They're experimenting it right now by allowing people to cut off their children's genitals. And I have a lot to say about that. I'm not going to say it today, but it's wrong. Don't do it. Okay, moving on. You know, the plan. Now, look at all this political correctness and all this CRT and all this wokeness, right? Okay, now, the plan, climate change, climate hoax. Of course we have climate change. It's a planet. She's alive. It's biology. You know, we have clouds, we have rain, we have sun. Yes, it changes every day. In Oregon, four times a day, right? What we have here is using the climate agenda to make mankind feel as though he, she is a blight on the planet, as if somehow we are separate from the nature of this planet. Oh, we're ruining the planet. We're ruining. I know we can do better. Stop pumping chemicals into the water. Yes. But man is part of the nature of this planet. We are intrinsically a part of Mother Earth and her environment. And more than that, we have dominion over this land to adjust and work respectfully with nature to meet our needs. I want you all to be aware of the fact that they are trying to make it so that you think of yourself as humans as superfluous to this planet. In fact, more than that, a blight. You'll allow yourself to be transhumanized. You'll allow yourself to be post-humanized, and you'll worship God in great thanks when they finally tell you, okay, you're 30 years old today, tomorrow you die. I don't want you to dwell on these things, because we are actually, a certain event happened, and it's going to work out so much better than anybody thinks it's going to work out. But I want us not to be Pollyanna and go, if I just don't listen to all the evil in the world and meditate and pray and everything's going to be so lovely. It's not. Acknowledge, accept, be educated, be aware, and know that none of that would have happened if we had been self-realized. And since this is, I'm not going to go on anymore because, you know, this is the first church group I've spoken to that people haven't been triggered and ran out screaming. So this is wonderful. But if I may, since this is a musical ministry, I know, I feel it, sister, me too. You know, since this is a musical ministry, may I do a little Celtic chant of welcoming us? You know, I'm not a vocalist, so don't hold out for much, but, you know, here we go. as I welcome this fellowship, and thank you for this fellowship, in the name of the one that is too great to have a name, and therefore we are its many and myriad manifestations. So, I call upon the elements of north, south, east, and west, together here as one in love, and let this land be blessed. And I call upon the golden light, the ancient one divine. Let your sweet, abiding, loving grace upon the gathered shine. I call upon the ancestors to here with us commune. And I call upon the fairy realm to grant us all a boon. And I call upon the gathered here, their arms to open wide, and to give your sweetest blessing, and to cast all else aside. Ancestors, we stand in your place, come now and guide us. Ancestors, we take your place, come now and guide us. Come now and guide us. I thank you all from the heart of my bottom. Have a wonderful life, and I can't wait to come back again and just join in the service. Thank you.
Wow, it was nice to hear that again, actually. That was just a couple of weeks ago. You know, again, this is the Unity Church on Stevens in Roseburg, Oregon, a lovely little church with a very cool and loving vibe to it. I speak in a great many churches, I have done over the years, and they're not all loving. They don't all have a cool vibe. This one really does. So if you live in the Roseburg area and you're looking for a New Thought church, check it out. Unity of Roseburg on Stevens. This church is a little gem, and the people I met there, well, they're just darling, all of them. And now it's time for Quack. Questions, answers, and comments. If you would like to share your fascinating thought forms with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, because nobody else will read them, Arnie@arnieavedisian.com, or via snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. And please, darlings, remember to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as omit personal details. All righty, let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, shaky, shaky. All righty, all these little pieces of paper. Our first email is from Sergei, who asks, I was getting nervous about the woke indoctrination in American schools. How soon do you think the new government will end it forever? I know there are many priorities to consider. Sergei also wrote a lot more about how he's the second generation here and how his family escaped from a very war-torn part of Russia, Soviet Union and all of that. So there's a lot more to this. So he, like many other immigrants, come to this country and go, finally, we made it to America. We're going to give America all that we have, land of the free, home of the brave. And then in no time at all, you've got this woke socialist, fascist, they don't even know what to call themselves, globalist puppet administration trying to tear down, the Constitution. So Sergei's a lot more concerned than he sounds on this. So how long will it take, Sergei? I think Team Unity plans to dissolve the entire Department of Education, which means the mentally unbalanced will no longer be in charge of the asylum. Thank you, God. Of course, there are priorities, but I think this new Team Unity, I think they're going to hit the ground running. And here's something that may work in our favor. I understand thousands of federal employees are threatening to resign as soon as Team Unity take office. Well, great, resign, do it. I mean, since government is the biggest, fattest, and most bloated of all the Americans, and believe me, my brethren and sistren, these days that's saying something, we are a bunch of fatties. You know, Team Unity plans to reduce our girth, our government's girth, as much as 80%. Most of those civil servants or contract people will be out of a job anyway as soon as Team Trump comes in. So I actually do have to ask, you're rushing to leave your jobs. Most people are rushing to keep their jobs. So I have to ask, what are you all so afraid of? Because it's not just like the top tier. There's several echelons here, several tiers of people. What are you all afraid of? Because your TDS is off the Richter scale, and it's more than that. It's not because you don't like Trump. You're all terrified of something. And surely you can't all be top shelf, you know, top shelf establishment people, privy to the deep state secrets and terrified of being arrested and tried. But thousands of daily grind civil servants. Why is everyone on every level so terrified? I suppose we know the answer. And even though we are in the know, we still marvel at the extent of the corruption. How far down the chain does this go? I mean, we're usually asking how far up the chain this goes. How far down the chain does this go? It's a saturation of deep state money, corruption everywhere. Sergei, my former tovarish, hang on. I know they will move fast. But there will be a fallout to deal with. You know, getting elected, Mike Flynn keeps reminding us, getting elected was phase one. There are many more phases, but you know, we must remain vigilant. Thank you, Sergei. Thank you. Okay, let's take another question, or could be a comment, it could be a rant. You never know what you're going to find in the fishbowl. Let's see what else came in this week. This is from Maria in Bakersfield, California. We get quite a lot of mail from Bakersfield, California. That's interesting. I should go visit one day on my way to visit my mum in Fresno. Anyway, Maria in Bakersfield, California says, "Dear Annie, does Matt Gaetz really have Hunter's laptop? And if so, will he share what's on it?" Oh, yes, he does. And I'm sure he will. But, you know, Maria, Marco Polo published the contents of Hunter's debauchery quite a while ago. I know this because a friend of mine showed me the book in all its glory, and I ran screaming. You can buy the book complete with more photos of Hunter having sex and doing drugs. You know, more of that than anyone needs to see, to be honest. What's on it? What's on the laptop? Well, I'll tell you. Get a pencil and a notepad, and here we go. And if we were to ask Marco Polo's founder what he found, I think he would say, well, I know he would say, because I'm quoting directly, "We reached out to every single pimp, hooker, drug dealer, and business partner on Hunter Biden's laptop." I bet you did. "We put all of his emails and photos online. You have FARA violations, money laundering, sex trafficking, and conspiracy to commit bribery." FARA stands for Foreign Agents Registration Act. Foreign Agents Registration Act. So that means that that act is used to identify foreign influence in the United States and address threats to our nation's security. Okay, so as they're going through all of his emails, the founder of this Marco Polo says, "Not one email has proven to be false. We put all of the metadata out there. When you go through the emails, they clearly show how the Bidens were an agent for a foreign principal." Hmm. "Hunter was on the hook for Joe Biden's living expenses. There was a joint bank account between Hunter Biden, Eric Schwerin, and Joe Biden. The emails prove it." And he goes on to say, "Joe isn't listed on official documents, but Hunter pays his living expenses, house payments, and everything else. Hunter's business paid for Joe's second iPhone, his burner phone. That phone was exclusively for Hunter and Joe. And the Secret Service didn't harden the phone." That's interesting. It was clearly a national security risk. It was probably bugged, of course, by multiple countries. I mean, who knows who bugged it? It wasn't hardened by the Secret Service. The president's son, the president's junkie son, didn't have his phone secured by the Secret Service. How interesting is that to me? It's very interesting. Anyway, it's a tax fraud because you've got money going to Joe every single year without declaring it as a gift. So that's another FARA violation. And if you violate FARA, that is called money laundering. And again, all this, you know, this is all laid out through emails and text messages, WhatsApp messages also, pictures, screenshots, audio recordings, videos, proving that Joe Biden got the money through house payments and joint bank accounts. Now, I guess Hunter had a bit of a problem. I mean, he blew through $1 million on hookers and blow, which I believe is the slang for cocaine, in 11 months. That's a lot of hookers and cocaine. And at the end of 2018, he asked Joe for a $75,000 wire so he could check into rehab. And the very next day, he's wiring $10,000 to a Russian pimp. Why am I sharing all this? Because you asked what's on Hunter's laptop. So I'm telling you, we have 20 separate drug dealers of crack cocaine with the US president's son. We put the name in the, you know, they have the name of the drug dealer. They have all the details. In certain cases, the drug dealer was prosecuted and Hunter wasn't. So there's your epitome of unequal application of the law. There's so much more to it, but that will give you a really nice flavor of something that's very unpalatable. The book is really something, but don't buy it if you have a weak stomach. You know, and there you have it. Now, if that was Barron's laptop, well, I doubt anyone will be able to get into Barron's laptop. It's probably encrypted in Arthurian and Palladian, you know, numerology. But it would be a very different story, wouldn't it? You know, but Baron is a higher level soul and he conducts himself with propriety. We're not going to see his naked ask on top of a person who's too young to be doing that sort of thing in between smoking crap pipes and stuff. And people are still voting for these people. I just don't get it. You know, never mind. We have Baron and he will have a hand in running our great nation in the new golden age of sovereignty. And if there's anything else on that laptop that I haven't seen, it's coming out. One way or another, Mark Gates is going to get in there and he is going to unleash holy fire. But do remember, people, we're doing this with the spirit inhabiting the human, okay? We don't want revenge. We want justice. Okay, let's take another missive from the fishbowl. Let's take a look. You know, I haven't been sipping my drink a lot lately. How could I ever forget about my drink? Let me have a little sip of this drinky poo. Actually, it is my third sip, you know. It's a very nice one. We will discuss that towards the end of the show. But it's a bit bubbly. All right, this is from Lucinda, who lives in the San Diego area. And she says, Ani, I think the next few years will be very difficult for us. You say the cabal is losing its power, but I don't really see evidence of that. They will fight back with all they have, and this fight might last 100 years or more. No, Lucinda, no, darling, it won't. It won't. It won't last hundreds of years because we don't have hundreds of years. Our civilization, such as it is, will not survive globalism and save, you know, it won't. It won't. I agree they will kick back with all they have. But I don't believe they have that much left, to be honest. And more than that, the relentless efforts of all the white hats, huzzah, have shifted consciousness to a point where the fear is falling away. And without fear, which is food for the bad guys, without fear, the black hat shamans cannot weave their spells. And that makes me very happy because those guys, and they are all guys, by the way, those guys are off-world. They're very powerful. And like me, they would rather die than fail. But they're going to fail without fear for food. So keep it up, Americans, and keep it up, world. Keep waking up and take away their food. It is a fight to the death. Of course it is. I agree. But I think it's not going to be a 100 years war. I think all the nasty skirmishes will be over with by Christmas next year, Christmas 2025. America will once again be a country, not a money laundering operation. Americans will be citizens once again, not living, breathing ATM machines for the government to plunder. Lucinda, darling, look at how the dominoes have fallen in the last month. Ooh, things ramped up. The run-up to the election saw Team Unity use do-or-die rhetoric. It also saw Team Blue Hue tell the most ridiculous lies I have ever heard since Grandma caught me raiding the cookie jar. The good guys told the bad guys, "We're coming for you. You will be investigated, arrested, tried, and sentenced." What happened? Well, besides the stock market coming back up and everyone breathing a sigh of relief and, everything's just more hopeful. CEOs, they resigned in droves and multiple suicides occurred and have yet to be reported. And some folks jumped into private planes and left the country. What we see now from the bad guys isn't more threats. It's smoke and mirrors. And good old-fashioned terror tactics, which worked well once upon a time, but not now, not so much. And kudos to the public for finally figuring it out. There is hope for us yet. Oh, yes. Yes, okay. They're still trying to push through the green agenda and the eat bugs agenda and the you can't own land agenda and that you have no rights agenda. But here's the rub. Because when push comes to shove, rights are inalienable. Now, my fellow Americans, where did I read that? My darlings, stay on the path of righteousness. Stay aligned with spirit. Sooner than we think, we shall replace spitefulness with mindfulness, and all shall be well. Which is a lovely segue to some words of wisdom from Julian of Norwich, one of my favourite ladies of medieval woo. Julian says, "For we are so preciously loved by God that we cannot even comprehend it. No created being can ever know how much and how sweetly and tenderly God loves them. It is only with the help of his grace that we are able to persevere in spiritual contemplation with endless wonder at his high, surpassing, immeasurable love which our Lord in his goodness has for us." And she says of Jesus, "He did not say, 'You will never have a rough passage. You will never be overstrained. You will never feel uncomfortable.' No, but he did say, 'You will never be overcome.'" A woman whose writings bring me so much joy and hope and vitality and good old-fashioned vigor, Julian of Norwich, 1342 to 1416, is known to us almost through her book, only through the book, The Revelations of Divine Love, widely acknowledged as one of the great classics of spiritual life. Also, she is thought to have been the first woman to write a book in English, which has survived. Huzzah for her. I have shared many prayerful contemplations with her. She and Hildegard of Bingen, Hildy van B. Ah, those are my two favorite girls for God. They really are. Do we have time for more questions? I think we do. We'll just keep going until it gets time to, you know, to stop. Ah, yes, I remember this one. This is from Elliot in London, UK, my old stomping ground. And he wrote a lovely letter thanking Metaphysical Martini and Cosmic Reality Radio for their dedication to truth. And, you know, we appreciate that. We do. But that's not why he wrote in. Elliot asks, "Do you really believe the Fourth Reich went to Antarctica and evolved there? It seems a bit far-fetched to me." Elliot, darling, please look around you today and tell me what isn't far-fetched. We live in a world that wants to make paedophilia acceptable. We live in a world where preventing your minor-aged child from mutilating its genitals can land you in jail. The current American globalist puppet administration is flooding towns, using direct energy weapons, murdering its own citizens for the sole purpose of grabbing that land for their own use. The same administration coerced people into injecting themselves with a deadly bioweapon disguised as a vaccine. Victims of those man-made disasters received a few hundred dollars and in many cases were denied aid by FEMA. FEMA hampered honest citizens' efforts to help other honest citizens. FEMA aided and abetted the murder of American citizens. In your own country, Elliot, the UK, you have police officers declaring war on native Britons and protecting illegal invaders who are not only criminals in their behavior there, they hate the very principles your country were founded on. You need to shut the whole country down, matey, and march on Westminster and kick their sorry asses into the Thames. Let's see who sinks. Let's see who swims. And let's give the River Patrol a day off when that happens, shall we? We live in a world where healthcare is really perpetual sickness management. The people who make vaccines and certain medications are not liable for any damage caused by their products. How does that work? What else is far-fetched? Oh, yes, Lucifer is enthroned in the Vatican. Oh, huzzah, what fun! Is that why Catholic priests, and it's not just them, and it's certainly not just Christians, oh no, we know it's across the board, so priests, rabbis, imams, whatever, is that why you're all physically and sexually abusing children and females? It's a culture, you know. It's not isolated incidents. And we live in a world where we have been programmed to accept war as a fact of life, a necessary evil, instead of what it truly is, insanity beyond comprehension. Shall I go on? Darling, the extent of the corruption and depravity is still not fully understood by the majority. Every single aspect of our lives has been hijacked by these purveyors of filth. Every thread that weaves our society will have to be unraveled, decontaminated, and restored. Yes, it's a big job, but we the people are up for it, and what's more, we have no option but to move on it like a ton of bricks. The deep state is an infection, and MAGA is the antibiotic. Keep fighting, Elliot. Keep fighting. I saw Jeremy Clarkson and all the farmers there marching on Westminster. God bless you. God bless the UK farmers. And the devil take two-tier Starmer and his gang of slobbering Luciferian slave bots. The sooner you get rid of that bunch of smarmy bastards, the better off your country will be. All right. Well, not that I have any strong opinions on this, my darlings. And, you know, people are always saying to me, oh, Arnie, you should be kinder. You should be kinder. I'm not going to deal kindly with people whose agenda is to depopulate the planet. There is a time and a season for all things. But sociopaths don't understand the concept of kindness. We have discussed this before, people. No doubt we will discuss it again. There is a palpable evil on this planet. We will eradicate it. That's what MAGA is all about. Trump didn't start MAGA. MAGA started when they shot JFK. Trump is the fearless leader who has just given up everything, including his life potentially, to be the figurehead this planet needs. And what a soul. What a soul. Pray for him. Unless, of course, you're in the dark forces, in which case, don't. All right, my darlings, I think we're coming close to the end. We're not quite there yet, but let me take this opportunity to say thank you for listening in. And to the ones who write in and tell me how much they enjoy the show and send me sweet little gifts, I love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. You don't have to do that. Who takes the time to do anything but complain these days? But you guys, you send me sweet little cards and you leave me sweet little voicemails. I mean, guys, sometimes I think you're trying to date me, you know? I mean, I'm just so touched. That's all I want to say. Thank you. Keep those letters coming, especially the quack letters too, because, you know, we share this information around the world. We can shift consciousness one metaphysical missive at a time. Now, I won't see you again till December the 4th, so I wish all my American friends a happy Thanksgiving. Please don't stuff your faces and then regret it the next day, and moderate your drinking, for heaven's sake, people. Today's real-life cocktail was a lovely drop of booze for a crisp fall day. Now, I got this from one of the vintage Mr. Bostons. It's called a luxury cocktail, and here's how you make it. It is suggested that you use a 6-ounce champagne saucer, not a flute. And I can do it in a highball too, but they suggest it in a saucer. So this is how I do it. Get yourself a highball or a champagne saucer. Put in 3 ounces of top shelf brandy. I use Martell Cordon Bleu because someone gave it to me at $300 a bottle. And you're going to want 3 ounces of well-chilled champagne. I would recommend splits of Moët Chandon. And you want 2 dashes of orange bitters. Bitters are very fashionable now, darlings. So you don't spend $32 or whatever on them. My favorite orange bitters are by Peychaud, P-E-Y-C-H-O-U-D-S, Peychaud Aromatic Orange Bitters. Get whatever glass you're going to get. Put in the brandy. Give it the 2 dashes of the orange bitters, and then top it up with really well-chilled champagne. Stir gently. You don't need to dress it. Drinky, drinky. It is delicious. Darlings, I want you all to have a lovely vacation, but please remember, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top-shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. I am Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Until we meet again, refuse to be homogenized, pasteurized, sanitized, and dehumanized. And while you go about your day, please remember to let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.